One, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It is 4:34 p.m. Eastern, the 19th of August. Beautiful day here in eastern, kind of southern Ohio. It's been very beautiful. It's wonderful. I love the summer. And it's been a cool summer day, actually. A little cooler than even I would like, but beautiful, clear skies. We don't see as many of the chemtrail things since the lockdown. There are a few good things about this lockdown, but mostly bad. Anyway, hopefully this is the right spot in the clip, and I'll start to show the clip again. Here we go.
Mercola is our guest. I appreciate Dr. Joseph Mercola, Mercola.com, joining us, medical doctor, esteemed, very famous, very well respected. I know you're just trying to get solutions, get vitamin D out to folks so that the death numbers aren't there, but they're going to count people that die of flu and of pneumonia, which I know vitamin D helps as well. They're not going to stop regardless with this. Now they say they're never going to end the lockdown. Big picture for you looking at this. Big power grab. The UN is who it tells us what can be done, what can't be done. I mean, big picture, what do you think this whole COVID hysteria is really about? What do you think of Bill Gates?
I'm sorry, Ellis. I just got back in 5 seconds ago.
I'm saying, what do you think of Bill Gates driving this whole situation? What do you think about the big picture of what's behind it?
I think that's clearly an element. We've done a lot of exposés on him. He's clearly the mastermind at this. He's part of this broader system called technocracy, which is essentially this small group of people that are focused on technical and engineering solutions to control the whole entire population without any government. So he's one of the leaders in this mess. So and you know, for nefarious purposes. I mean, he follows a path very similar to John Rockefeller, who was equally vilified over 100 years ago and decided to use philanthropy to change his public image. This is exactly what he's done. Most of the public believe he's this saint. He's donating all his money. But the fact of the matter is he's cleverly found loopholes. When he donates his billions of dollars, he donates them to a trust. The trust to invest in companies that directly benefit him personally. Even though he's donated tens of billions, his net worth is increased by double.
Exactly. He operates tax-free.
Essentially, yeah. He's manipulated the system crazily to his benefit. So he continues to be one of the wealthiest guys.
So Dr. Joseph Mercola, you're very respected. Start over with that. You're saying he is a mastermind. And you turn on the news, he's like our father, our president, our doctor. He's saying every facet of our lives. He tells us when we can go back to work. He tells us what vaccines we're going to take. I mean, when did I wake up and this guy's like my God?
Well, see, I want to get back to the vitamin D, though. See, that's the whole strategy. They've got lockdowns, they've got the mask, and they've got the vaccines. And they also have these other drugs like remdesivir. So, and they dissed these other strategies like hydroxychloroquine or plaquenil, which is been basically dismissed by the national media because it's a competitor to those other strategies. And the expensive drugs like remdesivir cost $3,000 or $4,000 for a course of treatment. But many people aren't aware of this, especially if they've been following natural medicine really carefully. But there is hydroxychloroquine, I believe in. It doesn't work as well as some other strategies that I can discuss. But it works by driving zinc into the cell, and it needs to be used with zinc and early on in the course of illness. But there's another alternative called quercetin. Quercetin. It's a natural bioflavonoid. It's in fruits and vegetables, and you can take it as a high-dose supplement, and it works better than hydroxychloroquine. It's almost free even compared to that.
How does quercetin do that, Dr. Mercola?
Number of different ways. It drives zinc into the cell just like hydroxychloroquine, but it also has other metabolic benefits because we know that increasing inflammation is one of the reasons that causes the morbidity, mortality increases in COVID. So it decreases inflammation. It does it by downregulate a metabolic pathway called NRLP3, and it also it activates a sirtuin, sirtuin-2 specifically, which is a longevity protein that has very powerful metabolic benefits. So, and a whole variety of other things. So it's better than hydroxychloroquine, and there's no side effects, and it's less expensive. So you don't have to rely on it. Even though you can't get a prescription for it, you just go store and get quercetin. So
how is COVID-19 killing us? Is it plastically destroying cells and replication, or is it the autoimmune response? Is that why so many doctors are pointing out that steroids inhaled are also knocking it out?
No, it has to do with inflammation and in a whole variety of metabolic consequences down there, specifically in certain areas of the body, like in the lungs, the alveoli, the little air pockets in your lungs that get filled with fluid, and as a result of that, you can't get enough air or oxygen into your system, which is why they use ventilators, which is a catastrophe. I just interviewed Aaron Marie Oslewski, who was the epicenter nurse in New York and Elmhurst Hospital last week, and she disclosed, I'm sure you've heard of her, and disclosed all the incredible negligence.
Oh, she showed the video of the charts when the people didn't have COVID. They still would put a tube down their throat and blow their lungs out.
I didn't know, but she went. Well, she just volunteered out of the goodness of her heart to go there and had no idea what she's going to find. And then once she was there, literally within hours, she realized what a catastrophe it was. And she went out, talked to a lawyer, and she got spy glasses. She recorded these with spy glasses on, which was,
And that's what we need is the morality of when you see evil, you stand up against it.
Yeah, she's a brave, courageous nurse, and she just wrote a book, The Epicenter Nurse. So it just was released yesterday on Amazon. So, but one of the other things, for those of us who try to share this information, we are heavily censored. Like, I don't even think Twitter has stopped your links. If you put a link to InfoWars, it still goes up on Twitter, right? So are you still active on that? But they haven't taken your links down. I don't think they have.
They're trying to block our banned out video links, but yes.
They blocked our site. We had done no violations at all, no rules yet. You cannot post a link to our site on Twitter. We're banned from Twitter, essentially.
And that's because they're scared of another well-known, reputable medical doctor. Again, the level of trying to deny people care or their own research or their own consumer research is just flabbergasting.
Yeah, and aside from censoring, they have discrediting campaigns. So one of the campaigns is being launched by an associate of Bill Gates, which is CSPI. It's an acronym for Center for Science and the Public Interest. Now, this is a nefarious, evil group. They've been around for decades, and this is a group that was responsible for helping promote trans fat that literally killed millions, if not tens of millions, of Americans. Yeah, and then they hid the fact up that they did that. They were promoting artificial sweeteners. They're just bad. So they're the head of the CSPI is Peter Lorre. He's a former associate commissioner of the FDA. And last week they testified before a subcommittee of the Senate and said that I was a COVID scammer selling snake oil cures. And they're trying to get the FTC and the FDA coming down my back. But they can try, but we do nothing illegal. We don't make any claims. We have all this vetted by high-level legal firms to make sure we're not violating any rules. So there's not much they can do.
No, I know. They lied about me and said that I had a COVID cure. I never said that, but Letitia James of New York said it, and it put me under investigation. Let's come back and talk about these sinister groups that, again, are trying to suppress the health rights of the American people. With Dr. Joseph Mercola, I'm Alex Jones with NewsWars.com and InfoWars.com. And the badge of somebody doing a good job is they're banned. Well, you can still hand-share Mercola.com with everybody you know and say, hey, here's the forbidden link, Mercola.com, fan.video. That's how we override the AI. So I want to thank everybody for doing that. We'll be right back.
Well, that was Dr. Mercola, as you heard, and the substance that he was talking about that seems to be very good in treating the COVID-19 is, so I'll spell it to you, it's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. That's the first time I had ever heard of that. I heard this clip earlier, but today was the first time I'd ever heard of that. So anyway, very interesting section there. I think I'm going to dive into Contact Report 248 and we'll see where we go. Maybe we'll pop back out to some more of the spiritual teachings, which of course I think is the most important thing. Now, this is quite interesting here because Ta is talking about Rasputin. And Rasputin, I believe, is the most recent prior personality of Edward Albert Meyer. And if you've listened to the program or you're familiar with the material, the Meyer material explains that we have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is who you are this lifetime. It is your personality, your current subconscious, conscious, and unconscious mind. The material consciousness is focused on the here and now, the today. When you're speaking, that's your material consciousness generally. What you learn, you know, driving your car, all the details of life are handled by your material consciousness. Now, the spiritual consciousness, it records everything that you do, all of your impulsations, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. And that's straight from Contact Report 10. Semyase told Billy that. And it sends you quiet impulses of wisdom that are direction determining. So the spiritual consciousness is the part of you that never dies. When your physical body dies, the spiritual consciousness will leave the body and it will take your material consciousness with it into the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, there's something called the overall consciousness block. And your material consciousness will be processed there. And the spiritual consciousness goes through everything that you've learned and experienced in the prior life. And it creates these evolutive values like confidence and optimism and love and a sense of duty and your abilities to strive, your ability to stay in harmony, your self-discipline, all of these things that you've learned over your previous lifetimes, and everything you learned in your past lifetime, the spirit form will absorb that information and it becomes wiser with each lifetime. It also works to form your new consciousness and your new personality. And that whole process is supposed to take you a fair amount of time. If you lived 100 years in the physical world, your spirit form would be working about 152 years in the spirit realm, processing everything that happened in your previous life and taking away everything that is of value, everything that you learn becomes part of the spirit form. And the problem that we have now because of the overpopulation being so high on the earth is the spirit forms get pulled back into a body before they're done processing all the information of the previous life. So this is one of the bad things that's happening. Sometimes, and I think Billy has said, or I've heard other people that study the Meyer material talk about this, got this from somewhere, that sometimes spirit forms can come back in like a half an hour. And so they really didn't get any time in the spirit realm at all. Your spirit form, the Geist form in the German, resides in the middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And it sends a lattice structure throughout the body of energy because it's the spirit form that is powering everything in your body, causing your heart to beat, helping the material consciousness with its thoughts. It never dies. It's called a tellstock or a fragment of the universal consciousness. So what we do is we live all of these lifetimes in physical bodies, and then we finally, after five stages of evolution in the physical body, we finally lose the need for a completely physical body, and that's the sixth stage of evolution for the human being. So you'll spend about 40 to 60 million years living in a physical body, dying, the spirit form processing everything that you learned in the spirit realm, coming back into a physical body, and then this process continues for 40 to 60 million years. You go from primitive life to rational life to intelligent life to real life to life in creational wisdom. Then you no longer even need a body. In the sixth stage, you're half physical, half spiritual. In the seventh stage, you're completely spiritual, and your spirit form goes through billions of years of evolution, and it merges back with creation. It takes everything that it's learned back to creation, the universal consciousness, and helps the universal consciousness to evolve. So this is a quick overview of the process. Now, some of Billy's prior personalities include Rasputin, Muhammad, Galileo, Mozart, Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the person that the Meyer material calls Emmanuel. These were all prior personalities. So Ptah is talking to Billy about Rasputin, and he says, I'm a few years older than you, and I also knew Rasputin personally. So there must have been some contacts. Rasputin had contacts with extraterrestrial humans. And Rasputin had the same spirit form as Edward Albert Meyer. Billy says, I know, but still, I thought that I could tell you something that you would be unknown to you. I have bad luck. I've also already had bad luck before. As you know, I have always had difficulty with millions and billions, which I, the devil knows why, often confused with one another. Now the same problem has arisen with light years and kilometers. In previous conversations with you and with Semyase, with regard to the Great Journey, etc., there was often talk of nonillions and decillions with respect to distances. With this, kilometers were always meant, but I the dope, have then always said and written light years. Ta says, these data indeed did not concern light years, but rather kilometers. Then this would also be clarified now, but now, once again, a question about the exodus of the original Lyrians. The Nagarian galaxy was abandoned 110 million years ago. And if I remember correctly, you said that they settled in the Lyran galaxy just to move then to the areas of Lyra and Vega about 26 million years ago. Anyhow, that's what you told me around the month of May 1991. Ta says that is correct. And just again, some inside information. The people from Lyra Vega are common ancestors between us and the Pleiaren. Now, our universe has different space-time configurations, seven of them. They are very similar. They have stars and planets and galaxies and solar systems, etc. But they're talking about not our Lyra Vega, but the Lyra Vega in their space-time configuration. So just to make that clear. So the Lyrians were in the Nagarian galaxy, which was, I think, dying. And so they had to abandon it. That was 110 million years ago. So there were people in our universe 110 million years ago. And our universe is much, much older. It's 46 trillion years old. Matter only lives about 15 to 20 billion years. So that's why our scientists think that our universe is only 15 to 20 billion years old. This is not correct, according to Meyer information. So the Lyrians went from the Nagarian galaxy to the Lyrian galaxy, and then to the Milky Way galaxy and Lyra Vega. But they're in a different space-time configuration. Billy says, good, but I still have a question. Now, the galaxy Lyran went the way of the ephemeral. Can one still perhaps see its light today? Ta said, no, that's impossible. It has pushed another galaxy, which is called Noser, to the place of the former Lyran galaxy, which emits its light since then, whereas the former light of the Lyran galaxy already evaporated long ago. So then one cannot see the galaxy anymore. Too bad. The light of the Nosir galaxy, however, which you designate as M83, can be seen from the Earth with good devices at a distance of 16 million light years away. Billy, mathematics, as it is used by the Earth people, does this have universal validity? No, not in any way, because the most diverse civilizations on other worlds have a variety of mathematical forms, which have no similarity or relationship with the terrestrial form. Billy, how does it happen then that your measures are the same as ours, at least are similar to these? Ta says they aren't. Billy says, you always speak of the fact that certain things have certain sizes, respectively measures, which are consistent with our measures. This is also true for physical values as well as for units of all kinds. Ta says, when we gave you data on masses, weights, units, and values or mathematical forms, etc., these were, of course, always converted by us to the terrestrial mathematical terms as well as into the corresponding terrestrial masses, weights, values, units, etc. But 7 meters are still 7 meters. When I speak, for example, of your ships and 3 times 3 is always 9. Ta says, certainly, but this is calculated and represented according to mathematics. With us, there is, for example, no measure that represents a meter, respectively 100 centimeters, but only one that measures roughly a meter. So namely 88.6 centimeters, according to the terrestrial term of measure. Our aircraft, which you have cited as an example, are 8 times this measure. So a diameter of 708.8 centimeters arises in accordance with the terrestrial term of measure. This is about 7 meters, which is why we also speak of this measure. Well, maybe that's a good place to end. We'll pick up there next time, I believe. I never know exactly what's going to happen the next time. But as far as we can tell, just a few thoughts about the Might of Thoughts book, Macht der Gedanken in the German. Some important points about feelings that we've been talking about. Feelings simplify things. They allow the thoughts to discharge. They make life bearable. They give their power to the psyche. They enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. They're very life-sustaining. The feelings grow out of the thoughts. The thoughts and the feelings work together, but the feelings grow out of the thoughts. Usually they grow slowly, not like emotions, which come very rapidly. And emotions can be dangerous. They can lead to things like murder and manslaughter. The feelings help the thoughts from being confused. Might of Thoughts, page 104. Feelings are very important and therefore also extremely useful. Consequently, they must not be fought and eliminated. It must never be forgotten nor disregarded that feelings have an existential and thereby life-sustaining significance and function, for which reason they are useful and must not simply be stifled and abolished nor manipulated in a one-sided form. Often, the males will stifle their feelings. We've kind of been taught to do that. it's not a good thing to do that. Very important concept to avoid: anxiety and doubt. Page 168, but this is bound with the necessity of rigorously excluding anxiety and doubt, because they are evil elements of disintegration, which are able to break or bend every straight line of every evolutive effort and can make all efforts useless, ineffective, and can ruin them. Sometimes a negative thought can be evolutive, but never are anxiety and doubt evolutive. So we want to avoid them. It's a necessity, and we rigorously want to exclude them. Rigorously meaning extremely thorough and in a very careful way, exclude anxiety and doubt. Because if you don't, it will essentially make all your efforts useless, ineffective, and it can ruin all the work you put into your evolution. The maintenance of doubt in no way has anything to do with a healthy, logical, and knowledge-demanding search for the truth. So we want to avoid that as much as possible. Well, we are out of time. I started a little late today, though. Hopefully you're having a great day. Get out there and enjoy it if you can. We'll talk to you soon. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.